Hello, party people, and welcome to a professional development version of Office Hours. I went through the PolGab queue, and there were several questions that were all related to career or professional development type stuff. So I'm going to cherry pick those out and focus on those separately this episode. So the first one, the highest voted one from G.I. Joe DBA says, have you ever refused a consulting project or opportunity? And if so, why? All the time. So at the end of a project, there has to be a clear route to success. I have to be able to see a vision where I can make the customer happy. And if during the initial discussions, I go, okay, I don't think I can make you happy, then I won't take the opportunity. And the way that I figure that out is I just ask them, what does success look like to you? At the end of this project, you know, we're going to work together for this many days or this many weeks, whatever. At the end of this project, what are you going to say? Oh, I'm so thankful we hired Brent because blank. What does that look like? Or another way to say it is, what makes you ready to spend $10,000 right now? You know, what makes you willing to pull the trigger? And the answers to that are usually pretty clear cut and give you a clear idea of what they want to see happen. And then you can understand whether or not it's something that you can actually pull off inside that time span. Next, and two related, during that discussion, sometimes I can just hear an attitude in somebody's voice where I'll give you an example of one client project that I turned down. I had the stakeholder, which had all the money and was willing to sign the checks. And then they also had their lead DBA on the call. And the lead DBA kept saying, well, I've been working with Microsoft for months on this and we're not making any headway. And so I asked, I said, was in front of the stakeholder, I said, okay, so what was the last thing that Microsoft asked you to do? And he said, well, they asked me to change this switch. I don't remember what the specific switch was. Let's say it's Mac stop, just to say something that you can change in 10 seconds and you can also change back. And I said, well, why did you refuse to change that? You know, why don't you want to change that? He said, well, is it because it can't possibly work? And I said, well, if the maker of the software tells you to do something, and it's something that you could do in 10 seconds, and you could prove them wrong, and then undo it in 10 seconds, why would you not do that? Help me understand. Why would you refuse to do that? He's like, well, because I know it won't work. And I said, okay, so I'm not going to take the gig, and here's why. If I tell you to do something and you know it won't work, then I can't overcome that objective or that objection. And your boss isn't going to want to give me good referrals. I only want to work with companies that are going to give me good referrals. And the stakeholder called me afterwards after the sales call. I said, I'm not going to take the gig. I said, if I was you, I'd go back to Microsoft, start doing the things that you can undo in 10 seconds, prove Microsoft wrong, and then you'll look like a superstar around the office. But I'll be honest right now, if you're just refusing to work with them, you're going to refuse to work with me. I'm smaller than Microsoft. And the stakeholder called me afterwards and said, thank you. That was very eye-opening for us. We're going back to Microsoft and working with them. And sure enough, Microsoft solved the problem. It's not like Microsoft's incompetent. They're pretty competent. Next highest voted one was, and I, this is kind of, but not really related to professional development. Doug asks, how do you prefer building up your SQL VMs in AWS? I just have an image. I know that there are all kinds of fancy pants ways that you can do it with automation, but then I have to learn those ways of automation and I don't make money for that. It's real easy to get distracted with, oh, I want to learn the new toy of the day. But in a rapidly evolving environment like that, the time that you put in into learning those kinds of tools, you got to make sure that that makes you a more valuable professional over the long term. Those tools don't make me a more valuable professional. So for me, I skip those. I just use a Windows template VM. I have SQL Server installed on it. And as long as SQL Server's still under support, that's just a piece of cake for me. I just provision new copies of it using just the plain old AWS portal GUI. It takes me 60 seconds and I'm done. I have the VM that I want. Otherwise, I got to go learn a new language or learn a new way of deploying something and then it's going to break. And why bother hassling with that? So next up, let's see. Hanny asks, hello, Brent. Who is the Brent Ozar in the Azure world? The answer for this one, it's Microsoft. Microsoft pays people like Anna Huffman, Buck Woody, to go out and evangelize their products, to go teach people how to use them. They will teach you how to use Azure for free. If you look for things like SQL workshops in GitHub, there are whole GitHub repositories of training materials. There are videos that are available all for free because Microsoft wants to teach you how to use that stuff. Now, that's also the reason why you don't see a lot of third-party people doing it, because it's hard to compete with free. I love the people at Microsoft who are putting this material out. It isn't the same as having an independent person do it. Like, one of the things that you usually come to me and laugh about is that I will make all kinds of fun of Microsoft. I'll show features that don't work. I'll show you where the potholes are. Microsoft won't do that. Microsoft wants to teach you the right way of doing things, and they gloss over things that don't work, or sometimes they'll put out training videos before the product has really been used extensively in the real world. They don't know all the pitfalls and the problems with it. It's not that they're not sharp people, they just that's not the business that Microsoft is in. So you got to be aware and take that training with a grain of salt, and then actively learn and look for the potholes yourself. I think that maybe there may come a point where independent people get more into the market for teaching Azure, but as long as Azure keeps rapidly evolving, it doesn't make sense for most professional trainers to get into it, because by the time you record material on it, the material is out of date within 6 to 12 months, and you have to keep rewriting it from scratch. That's very expensive as an independent trainer. I would have to keep slaving away over a hot keyboard trying to keep up with Azure's changes. And given the relatively low amount of training income in that, it just doesn't make financial sense, because again, at the end of the day, you're competing with free. Let's see, next up we have G.I. Joe DBA asks, what do you do when you've inherited a project and the business logic and institutional knowledge is overwhelming and it makes your eyes glaze over? Ask, what's the problem you need me to solve? Always stay focused on whoever gives you money, whoever is responsible for getting you raises. Ask, what's the problem you need me to solve? Like, what's the problem you need me to solve by the end of the next week, in the end of the next 30 days? And you don't have to know the whole entire project and all the institutional knowledge in order to solve the short-term goals that they have for you. As you continue to solve those goals, you will absorb more and more of that project knowledge. But just think of it exactly the same as SQL Server. The internals of SQL Server, you don't know all of that. It's overwhelming. If you tried to learn it all, it would make your eyes glaze over. Who cares? You don't have to. I look at SQL Server's feature area, and I don't have to. 2019, they brought out stored procedures in Java. You think I learned that stuff? Hell no. Why bother? The surface area is giant. Only focus on the things that the people who are handing you money actually need you to solve. And then that way you can just nibble off the parts that really matter to you. Most of it doesn't. Most of it won't matter. Let's see here. What's next out of these? Oh, here's, oh, yes. Oh, DBA preparing for job search asked, what's your opinion on interviewers asking SQL Server internal questions instead of practical day-to-day based activity-based questions? So the reason that they do this is they don't know the answers to activity-based questions. Imagine that I asked you to hire a doctor. When you go and choose your personal physician, how do you go about choosing and figuring out whether or not that doctor is actually qualified? Fortunately for you don't have to. You don't have to go, tell me how cholesterol works. You don't have to screen them because they've already been screened by things like medical schools and insurance companies. There are built-in college degrees and board certification exams that they have to pass. Someone else does that certification process for you, so you don't have to worry about it. That's not true with database people or with developers, whatever. People can just parachute into that. I'm a college dropout, for that matter. I don't have a computer science degree. So someone's got to do that level of filtering. And if it's up left up to interviewers, they don't have the skills. So what do? They Google SQL Server interview questions. They come across a list, and then they just ask you questions based off of that list. I don't blame them. I understand how we got here. That's why if you really want to get a job, what you do is have references. You need to go through all your people that you've worked with in the past who know how good you are and who can vouch for you. And then it does the end run around the stupid HR questions. What's the size of a data page in SQL Server? You know, things that just don't affect your daily job. And then one more, we'll take True Shit asks, how would you handle clients or managers who want everything ASAP, especially when their ASAP expectation is weeks and something months apart from my ASAP? Usually they come from a business background and they think that if something is easy to use, it must be easy to build. Be honest and say, this is what I estimate it will take. If... And often it's because they, you know, in IT, the easy things, things that look easy are hard. Things that look hard are often easy. You can say when someone brings you a thing, you say, all right, here's what I would take in order to build that. For me to build it faster, here are the changes that we could make. It's just like when you go to buy something. If you go into a car dealer and you go up to a Rolls Royce and you go, oh, wow, I'd really like that Rolls Royce. They tell you it's $400,000. You got to be able to counter and say, it's not like you're going to be able to negotiate the price of a Rolls Royce down to something that you and I can pay. Instead, what we have to say is, well, all right, here's the money I have. What can this get me? So in the terms of an IT project, someone comes to you and says, okay, we'd like you to build us a data warehouse and pull data from Oracle, MySQL, MongoDB, all these things, put it in a data mart and build us a report on top of it. Go, okay, that just sketching out the top of my head, that's probably a 2-year project for 4 people. How much time would you like me to spend? And then I'll tell you what I think I can deliver in that time. And then that helps to open up the conversation of, you know, they say, well, what could you do in 2 weeks? Well, I could scrabble together a linked server query that gets resurfaced in Excel. Would that work? So then that helps you open up those conversations about what you're capable to do in the time that you have. And if someone says you think you can do better, I wish I could. This is my technical expertise. This is all I know how to do in the time that I have. If you have a way to get it done faster, I'd love to see it. And you don't say it in a kind of sarcastic, jerking way of saying it, like kind of that I did there. Be naive and open and embracing. Do you have anyone who can help me accomplish that in 2 weeks? Is there someone who's done that before? Someone that I can learn from inside the company? Because sometimes, too, it's their bad communication, that they don't know how to ask for something. And in reality, they say, well, Alice over in accounting does this for us all the time. And you walk together over to talk to Alice, and Alice goes, no, actually, I'm building them a linked server query that just we front-ended in Excel. And then everybody's on the same page, and then you can actually build it in 2 weeks, and you go from there. All right, so there's a quick professional development series of questions. If you've got questions for me that you want to see me discuss over at Office Hours, you can ask them over at pollgab.com/room/Brento, and I'll take the highest voted ones and go tackle those in the next Office Hours webcast. Just so happens that I had a few minutes to spare before I teach my Fundamentals Week classes this morning. Got up a little early today, and I just thought, oh, I'll just go spend 15 minutes doing a quick Office Hours. So hope you enjoy. And see you next time.